Thank you, Pastor Mike, and it has been a joy watching Pastor Mike and Stephanie in their leadership journey and watching what God's doing here at LifePoint. So last time I was here, it sure wasn't this big, so it's wonderful. I praise God for what he's doing, and if you're somebody that's found Jesus through the ministry of LifePoint, you're the reason for it all. And so it's a joy to play just a little teeny part in your journey. I was raised in church. We went every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, any other time the doors were open. I learned to pray, worship, give, serve, believe, follow Jesus by watching my parents. That's the way it used to be. Religious beliefs were handed down from your parents. If mom and dad were Methodists, then you would be a Methodist for life. If your grandparents were Lutheran, then your parents were Lutheran, and then you would be a Lutheran. If your background was Pentecostal, you would always be Pentecostal. If your family was Assemblies of God, you were Assemblies of God, no question. Your Catholic family would be Catholic for generations. You weren't Catholic or Methodist or Lutheran or Baptist because you chose to be. You just never considered anything else. Now, that's not true anymore. In ever-increasing amounts, people try out different religions in their search for God, and they explore their spirituality like never before. And they do much of that exploring online. And I just want to caution you, be careful when you seek answers to spiritual questions on the internet. Just because someone sounds smart doesn't mean they are smart. Just because it sounds like truth doesn't mean it is truth. Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it right. You say amen, and you clap a little, but you're also forwarding me those stupid things that Mark Zuckerberg is going to give me $1,000 if I'll forward this email. So be cautious. If you aren't sure, ask. One of the challenges with all the religious systems being taught is a tendency to put too much emphasis on yourself. Every religious system other than Christianity teaches that you must attain a certain level of good works or accomplishments in order to go to heaven or to paradise. It's about you. If you accomplish enough good, you'll reach heaven. If you don't do enough, you won't make heaven. What you do determines where you go. And now, nobody knows how much is enough. Nobody knows. But one thing's for sure, it's up to you. And it's not intentional, but you take cues from all those other religious systems and you apply it to your belief system and it becomes about you. What have you done? What have you said? How much faith do you have? If you haven't been healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. If you haven't received a financial miracle, it's because you don't give enough money to qualify. Good-hearted people say things like, well, if you're sick, it must be your fault. You need to examine your life. You must be doing something wrong. Or you wouldn't need a knee replacement if you just had enough faith. We had a lady in our church who told one of our senior adults that. She's all over. If you just had faith, you wouldn't need that knee replacement. 6 months later, she had her own knee replacement surgery. Well, say you're healed and you'll be healed. Don't admit you're sick. Or you will be sick. Really? If you say, man, I'm sorry, I got a headache today, God's like, I'm going to give you a double headache. Is that really true? Can you really confess your way into a healing or out of a healing? See, we've been taught to think it's a formula. If you can get the right healer, if you can say the right prayer, if you can have the right amount of faith, if you give the right offering, if you go to the right church, if you can figure out the formula, then God will heal you. I even read a book that taught the right way to pray for different physical problems. So where to place your hands and what to say. And according to the author, if you don't pray the right way, if you don't put your hand in the right place and say the right words, it doesn't work. And I just picture God in heaven saying, oh, you missed it by 4 inches. It's been a little to the right. I would have healed her. Sorry. So I want to tackle a difficult theological question today, and hopefully in an easy to understand way. When it comes to healing, when it comes to miracles, How much is up to you? How much is up to God? We're going to do it by looking at two stories in the New Testament. Two men, each in a desperate situation, whose only hope was a miracle from Jesus. By studying their stories and looking at Jesus' reactions, you'll discover some important things about miracles, and I hope relieve some pressure. Now, I'm going to put all the verses on the screen because we're going back and forth so much that you're just going to get confused if you try to follow me. Mark chapter 10 tells a story of Bartimaeus, a blind man who's desperate to see. John 5, we find the story of an invalid, a man who couldn't move, was desperate to walk. Both men had a need. One was blind, the other couldn't walk. Now, it's important to understand the culture in Bible times. Their handicap was viewed as the result of their sin. People believed the invalid couldn't walk, Bartimaeus couldn't see because God was punishing them. On top of that, because they were handicapped, they were regarded as subhuman, as a drain on society. People avoided and ignored the handicapped. It was a deep-seated, ugly prejudice. Both men had a need, both men also had a plan. Bartimaeus' plan was simple. He stood by the road, and when Jesus came by, Bartimaeus was going to call out and ask for healing. The invalid's plan was a little more complex. He staked out a small pond called the Pool of Bethesda, a crowded gathering place for people who had all kinds of illnesses, and people believed that an angel came and stirred the water. It wasn't the wind, it was an angel, and that when the water was stirred, the first one in would be healed. So when the water began to move in a mysterious way, there was a race to the pool. And the invalid's plan was to jump in the pool at the first ripple. Just one small flaw in his plan. He couldn't walk. So it really wasn't much of a plan. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Bartimaeus couldn't get a job, but he had some initiative. Every day he got up so he could get a good spot on the side of the road, and he sat there begging, hoping someone would have pity and give him a few small coins. It wasn't much. At least he's doing something. The invalid, on the other hand, doing absolutely nothing. He's lying on a mat by the side of a pool all day, every day. Couldn't get up and run. Couldn't jump in the water. He was the picture of a guy wallowing in self-pity. I can't walk. I can't run. I'll just hang out here. Bartimaeus was doing everything he could. The invalid was doing nothing. So who are you like? You doing everything you know to do? Or are you like the invalid, feeling sorry for yourself, hoping one day you'll get a lucky break? Have you ever heard the verse, God helps those who help themselves? Isn't that a great verse? One slight problem with that verse, it's not in the Bible. And it's only partly true. God does help those who help themselves, but thank God he also helps those who can't help themselves. When Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus, son of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus always drew a crowd. And when there's a big crowd, it was a chance for a beggar to make serious money. Bartimaeus was completely focused on Jesus, though. He kept yelling, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't worry about the crowd trying to quiet him. He ignored all the obstacles. His focus was on Jesus. The invalid did the opposite. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned he had been in this condition a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me get in the pool when the water's stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone goes ahead of me. He didn't recognize Jesus. He just continued his pity party. This is the biblical Eeyore. Did you watch Winnie the Pooh? Sir, I'm just no one to throw me in the water. Need some honey. His world was confined to this tiny mat on the stones surrounding the pool. Bartimaeus, Jesus-focused. The invalid was excuse-focused. Again, which one are you like? Are you focused on Jesus or on all the excuses? When Jesus heard Bartimaeus yelling, he stopped and said, call him. They called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." He was full of hope. When Jesus asked what he wanted, Bartimaeus could have asked for money. He could ask for a prime begging spot. And he could have asked for a new job. Instead, he went for the whole deal. "I want to see." When Jesus asked the invalid, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water's stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone goes ahead of me." He didn't say, "Yeah, I want to walk," because he'd given up. He'd been there almost four decades. And he'd seen through the eyes of hopelessness, waiting for a healing that didn't come. He no longer believed healing was possible. He was an excuse-making, no-chance-taking, hopeless case. What a big difference. Bartimaeus, hopeful; invalid, hopeless. Again, which are you? Are you hopeful, or have you given up? Jesus called Bartimaeus, throwing his cloak aside. He jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. When Jesus called, Bartimaeus followed the sound of his voice and pressed through the crowd to Jesus. The invalid couldn't come to Jesus. He wasn't physically able. So Jesus, in all his mercy, went to the invalid. Isn't that a great thought? He couldn't approach Jesus, so Jesus approached him. What a difference. Bartimaeus came to Jesus. Jesus came to the invalid. In spite of all their differences, both guys had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus stopped for both of them. He stopped for Bartimaeus, who was filled with hope. He stopped for the invalid, who had no hope. Bartimaeus shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Somehow he knew Jesus, who Jesus was. He addressed Jesus as Son of David, a term that meant Messiah. Jesus had taught around that area where Bartimaeus lived. And on one of those occasions, Bartimaeus must have been on the edge of the crowd to hear his life-giving words. And apparently sometime, Bartimaeus made the decision that Jesus was more than a man. He was the Son of God. He was a faith-filled believer. The invalid, on the other hand, wasn't a believer, follower, even a casual observer. Jesus was the most famous teacher of the day. He was a figure who attracted attention everywhere he went. He inspired controversy. This guy sitting by the pool had never heard of him. He called him Sir. Imagine all those sick people sitting around a pool, not knowing the healer himself was on the scene. The invalid couldn't have been a believer, or he would have known who Jesus was. So if he's not a believer, there's no way he could be healed, right? If he didn't believe in Jesus, how could he do his part? How could he have any faith? Bartimaeus was a believer. The invalid didn't even know who Jesus was. Back to Bartimaeus. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." No doubt, no hesitation. "I want to see." When Jesus came, he knew what he wanted. He knew what he needed: healing. The invalid didn't even know what he needed. Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir, no one to help me in the pool when the water's stirred. Everybody gets ahead of me. If I just had somebody to throw me in, everything would be better." He didn't ask to be healed. He's just looking for someone committed enough to throw a guy whose legs didn't work into a pool, which, by the way, would not have gone well. The invalid was looking for natural answers when the supernatural answer was right in front of him. And comparing their stories, we root for Bartimaeus. We want him to be healed, and we're a little apathetic towards the invalid. But both men had an encounter with Jesus. Surprisingly, both received a miracle. Now, for some of you, everything you've believed about miracles and healing is about to be challenged. Stay with me. First, Bartimaeus, Jesus said, "Go, your," what's that word? "Faith has healed you." See what Jesus said? Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith. So faith must be the secret. If you want to be healed, you got to have great faith. So it is up to you. It's true, God does help those who help themselves. But now the invalid, Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once, he picked up his mat and walked. Wait a second, if the key is faith, how in the world was he healed? He didn't have any faith, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Nothing he did brought about his healing. When Jesus offered healing, he just wanted someone to throw him in the water. I'm surprised he didn't say, you know what, I'm good, forget it, I'm just going to stay here on my mat. Bartimaeus was a believer before being healed. His faith was key to his healing. The invalid was not a believer before his healing. In fact, he didn't become a believer until sometime after his healing. His faith came as a result of the miracle. Now, this is going to mess with some of your theology. Because if you've always believed healing was a result of faith, how in the world do you explain this? There's only one possible explanation: the love of God. God, in his love and in his mercy, chose to reveal himself to the invalid by healing his sickness. Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith in Jesus. The invalid had faith in Jesus because he was healed. I think of people who struggle with depression. It's rare that someone who's fighting depression is faith-filled at the same time. Thank God it's not about you, what you say, what you pray, what you do. He's God, you're not. Now, let me caution you with a balance point, because you can listen to this and say, well, Rod doesn't believe in faith. He doesn't believe faith makes a difference. If you say that, you're twisting my words, you're misrepresenting the truth. I'm faith-filled. I believe in an all-powerful God who can do immeasurably beyond all we can ask or imagine. He is able. Scripture is clear. Faith is necessary. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. At the same time, I'm thankful that when my faith is weak, God is still able to heal. His miraculous power is not limited by me. And what happened next is amazing. Bartimaeus did what we'd expect. He left the beggar tools behind, followed Jesus. The man who restored his sight was worthy of following. But look at the invalid. The day which this took place was the Sabbath. The Jews said to the man who'd been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. And the man replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And they asked him, who is this fellow that told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was for Jesus that slipped away in the crowd. I can't imagine. Put yourself in this guy's place. You're crippled and you can't walk. You've lost all hope. You never have a chance or any reason to believe anything good's ever going to happen to you. Then one day, a man walks up and heals you. Would you lose track of him in the crowd? Would you let him slip away? I don't think so. You'd grab onto Jesus with everything you had, determined to follow him forever. Not this guy. And here's what I think should happen next. The next verse should say, when the invalid didn't acknowledge Jesus, God made him crippled again. But not Jesus. Filled with incredible love, love we can't even imagine, Jesus went to look for the invalid again. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said, see, you're well again. Stop sinning. Something worse may happen. The man went away, went back to the Jews, said, it's Jesus who made me well. Both Bartimaeus and the invalid had the opportunity to become followers of Jesus. Bartimaeus chose to follow. We really don't know what decision the invalid made. But it appears he also became a follower because he returned to the Jews and proclaimed Jesus had healed him. He didn't have to go back. He didn't have to testify, but he became a witness to the power of Jesus. Both men were very different, but they both had a Savior. So here's the question. Who does God help? God helps those who help themselves, like Bartimaeus. God helps those who can't help themselves, like the invalid. See, it's not about you, it's about him. It's not about the words you say, the faith you feel, the things you do. That's wonderful and good. I'm for it, but it's not about you. It's not about finding a formula. It's about finding Jesus. The lesson from Bartimaeus is run to Jesus. People may try to discourage you. It may feel like there's not hope. Run to Jesus. When doctors don't have an answer, when there's nowhere to turn, when you don't know what to do, run to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you from coming to Jesus. The lesson from the invalid, he didn't deserve to be healed. He didn't exhibit any faith to warrant a response from Jesus. He didn't know who he was. When everything around you fails, when friends or family aren't around to give you what you need, when your cries for help seem to bounce off the ceiling, God's mercy steps in. Mercy is God's response to misery. Maybe you feel abandoned, like outside help is gone. You tried everything you can think of and nothing's worked. You're a perfect candidate for the mercy of God. When you're helpless and hopeless, God reaches out in mercy. The lesson is mercy is available to you. Mercy can't be forced on somebody. Jesus didn't walk up to the guy and say, you'll be healed whether you like it or not. Jesus didn't force it. He said, you want to be made well? God never forces his mercy. It must be received. I was in seventh grade, living in Fargo, North Dakota, God-forsaken wilderness. And I was a misfit and a reject as a kid, made fun of, picked on. I worried my way and to an ulcer. And at that point, doctors didn't know the same things they know about treating it. And so I was put on a strict diet. No pizza, no Cokes or Dr. Peppers. I lived on Dr. Pepper. I may have been in North Dakota, but I was from the South. It was miserable. Every Sunday night, students would go out for pizza, Happy Joe's. They'd all get pizza and Coke. I'd get milk and a sandwich. It's horrible. One Sunday night, we had an evangelist come to our church, and he was a healing evangelist. Don't remember his name. Don't remember his message. But at the end of the service, he had people come up for prayer, and he had a long line across the front, all the way across. I was way on this end. I had the grand piano behind me. Back then, we had grand pianos in church. He started on that end. I thought, first thought was, that's great. I'm going to be here a long time. And the first person he prayed for, when he prayed for them, they fell over. Now, I'd never seen that before. I was pretty freaked. It's like, that doesn't look like a healing to me. And I watched, and two or three people, he did the same thing. They fell over. And I was scared to death. I got a grand piano behind me. I'm looking, saying, I'm going to trade an ulcer for a concussion, and I'm not interested in that. There's no way. And so as the guy went down, I just kept thinking, nope, this is not happening. I wish I could go back to my seat, but my mom and dad wouldn't be happy with me. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can tell you what I'm not going to do. I am not falling over. So I got ready. Spread my feet, same width as my shoulders, bent my knees. All my weight was forward. I mean, I wasn't going to give him a CD, a courtesy drop. I was standing right where I was. I was ready for the dude. And by the time he got to me, it was no longer about my healing. It was no longer about an ulcer. It was rod against the evangelist. I wasn't going down. And he got to me, and I mean, I'm just a kid. I'm ready. If he tries to push me over, I'm going to deck him. So one of us is going down. It's not going to be me. And this wise old man of God got to me. And he took one step back from me, and I thought, yeah, he sees this big buff body. One step back from me. Didn't touch me. And he said, Lord, would you heal this young man? Now, I have no idea what happened next. I can tell you, 30 minutes later, I woke up under the grand piano. And that night I went to Happy Joe's and I had pizza and I had Dr. Pepper and I ate like a madman. I went to some crazy donut shop here yesterday. I didn't even tell Pastor Mike before dinner I ate. In one service, I went from no faith to filled with faith to no faith, and God still healed me. Now, I'm not saying you got to fall over to be healed. I've never fallen over again. That's like a one-time deal. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But I've learned, I'm just not going to be able to explain everything. At our church, we just came out of a series on healing. And every week, we're praying for people to be healed. Now, I don't understand this. But for some reason, Pastor Mike, a whole lot of people's shoulders were healed. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. And we just had all kinds of people say, you know, I've had nerve impingement, my shoulder, couldn't lift my arm above this. And all of a sudden in worship, I was standing there with my arm. I thought, wait, I can't do that. Had another lady watching online, and she lifts her hands, and she's healed. And I'm thinking, well, that can't work. You can't be healed online. I didn't even touch you. I didn't even pray for you. Let me tell you, God can do things in a wonderful variety of ways. And he is not limited by our imagination. Do you remember the story? Jesus encountered another blind man, and this guy, what he did when he prayed for him, he spit on the ground, made a mud ball, put it on the guy's eyes, and then he spit and he touched the guy's tongue. If you try to do that to me, you're in trouble. And the guy was healed. The Lord is wonderfully creative, and he is not bound by our methods or our styles. It's not about going to the right person or the right place. It's about going to the right Jesus and trusting him. Here's my message for you today. You can receive a miracle if you got a lot of faith, a little faith, or none at all. If you're hopeless or you're hopeful. If you're convinced or if you're a doubter, today can be your day for a miracle. Because Jesus is here. It's not up to you. It's not up to a formula. It's not about who touches you, who prays for you, if anybody touches you at all. It's God's power and mercy at work. And you say, well, I don't have any faith for my healing. I got good news for you. I do. We're going to pray and believe together. And if you're faith-filled like Bartimaeus, we're going to pray for your healing. If you're hopeless and miserable like the invalid, you've been prayed for 100 times and you're not even sure it's still real, we're going to pray and believe God will touch you. Because God still heals. You say, well, I'm not sure I believe in healing. Awesome, neither did the invalid. Your belief is not a prerequisite for God to touch you and heal you. You may be here today and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus. And you say, well, there's no way. There's no way I can be healed because I'm not even a believer. That's okay. Neither was the invalid. Jesus still touch you, still heal you. Would you bow your heads with me? And I want to pray for you today if you need a miracle. If you're watching online, there's a place that you can push for prayer or type in the text box. We're going to pray for you. We got people standing by to pray for you. I believe God can heal you watching online. We're going to do it a little different today just because I won't be obedient to the Lord, and this is what I sense him telling me to do. If you need a miracle, I want you to stand right now. Stand. Say, what are people going to think? They're going to think you need a miracle because that's what I said. And we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord to do miracles in this place because he still does. His power is the same. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to have some other friends pray for you too. Would you look around? Everyone else look around. If there's someone near you who's standing, I want you to stand with them. Put your hand on their shoulder. If you don't know them, real quick, introduce yourself. Put your arm around them. You don't have to tell the person standing there what you need prayer for, okay? That's we have so much of what we do is tradition, not based on scripture. But I'm going to pray for you. They're going to pray for you. And we're just going to believe as we pray, God is going to touch you and heal you, that he's going to do a miracle. In Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you today, some of us filled with faith, just believing, Lord, there's a surge in our heart, and there's a surge in our spirit. There's a surge of expectation. that you're going to do something great. We are faith-filled, believing you for a miracle. Lord, there are others who just, it's last hope. Nothing else has worked. Doctors haven't worked. I don't know what I can do, but I might as well try this. We come to you, the faith-filled and the faithless, the hopeful and the hopeless, believing you're the same God who touches and heals all. And I pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, for the power of God to touch people in this room. Lord, the same way that your power touched me in the seventh grade, and I got up healed. I pray right now you would do that for people in this room. Lord, I pray for people with illnesses that they've had for years. There's no answer. The doctors have tried everything. Medicines haven't worked. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for healing. Lord, I pray for people who are struggling with depression. I pray, Lord, that depression would be lifted in the name of Jesus, and the encouragement of God would flow through them right now in the name of Jesus. God, we call out to you right now and ask you for miracles, because you are a miracle working God and you are an all-powerful Savior, and there is nothing too big or too hard or too difficult for you. So God, I pray right now you would do what we can't in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we celebrate your healing. Come on, you're standing with somebody. I want you to just out loud start praying for them, because there's something about hearing somebody pray for you. And we're believing together right now for healing in Jesus' name.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Can we all stand across the room today? Come on, continue to pray for those people that you're laying hands on and praying over. James 5 says, if any of you is sick, let us call the elders of the church to lay hands. And I'm telling you, we have one of our elders come and preach healing and pray healing over us. Can we give God praise for his word, for the truth of his word? Come on, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, our prayer team is coming. I want to close out our time together, and our prayer team will come to the front. And if you need more prayer, if you want somebody else to stand with you in prayer, not that you don't like the person that prayed with you just now, but you're just not done. All right, we're gonna close our service just a little different than normal. Jonathan on the keys, light singing. But if you need prayer, we want to invite you to come down for prayer for that as we transition out of here. But man, what a great word. Amen, everybody. Wasn't that so good? Man, I'm so encouraged today. What an incredible word. And I agree with Pastor Rod. If you're even watching online and you needed prayer, just tell us, let us know. And I want to ask around the room, if God's done something in you, would you please tell us, let us know on that connection card. Just fill that out and say, hey, man, God heal me, my back, my arms, my shoulder, whatever. Or later this week, you just realize the Lord healed you. We want to celebrate with you. We want to give God honor and praise for that. But man, I believe God's doing something special today. This was a great day to be in church. Amen, everybody. Hey, before we go, I just want to say if we'll close in prayer this way. If you're standing here today and you're like, man, I want more of Christ. I want more of what God has for me in Jesus. And I'm so thankful I came. And you're ready to give your life completely over to Christ. Maybe you have drifted from the Lord. I know at seasons in all of our lives, we've had times where we felt closer and further from the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. God's never left you. You may have left him, but he's never left you. And you'd say, I'm ready to go all in and revisit my relationship with Jesus and give my life to Christ. I just want to lead us in a closing prayer for that you'd give your life to Jesus. And here's how we want to follow up with you on that. And on the contact card in the seat back in front of you, there's a place where you can say, I committed my life to Jesus, or I recommitted my life to Christ. And we just ask you to just tell us. We don't like to track people down or make you come in a private room or do those kind of things. We just ask you to just let us know so we can follow up with you this week and pastor you well. So if that's you this morning, I just want to lead us all in a prayer together. Then our prayer team's here to serve you, and we'll get you out of here. Can we just open our hands to the Lord? Come on, everybody. And everyone in the room, would you pray this prayer with me? Say, God, I believe in Jesus. Come on, say, he died for my sin so that I can live forever. Now say, I'm all in. I commit my life completely to Christ. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Say, I will live for Jesus for the rest of my life. I ask forgiveness and I receive your salvation in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Come on, let's give the Lord one more shout of praise. Jesus, we love you, Lord God. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Come on, lift up the voices to Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hey, if you want prayer for anything, we want to pray with you. And we love you, Life Point Church. Have a great day. God bless you. And peace out, everybody.